Okay, I apologize. Today's Daf Yomi is going to be a little bit quicker than usual because I'm on a little bit of a tighter schedule. Purim morning, Afreilich and Purim to everybody. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is Le'ilui Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Tzvi, Ben Harav Yosef. We are up to Gufa and Dalet Amud Aleph, about 8 lines down. It says the Gemara, Gufa, we learned previously, Rabbi asked the following question. Hidbik pas betanor. If you put, the way they used to bake bread, they would take, you go to a pizza making place, they still do it this way today. You just take this dough and you chuck it onto this hot oven, and then it takes a while till it bakes. So you put the, you put the raw dough on an oven, and now you want to see, is it gonna bake or not? So you did it on Shabbos. You put it into the oven on Shabbos. But now did they permit you to take the bread off? Now taking the bread off the oven is an issur d'rabbanan. It's called Ridiyas Hapas. Some say it's uvda d'chol. Some say it's shema yivashel. Maybe you'll come to cook. So if you did put the dough on the on the oven. Now the question is, are you allowed to violate the issur d'rabbanan of removing the dough from the oven before you violate the issur d'oraisa of baking? Maybe you could take it off the oven before the dough really gets baked, and maybe you'd save yourself from the issur d'oraisa. The question is, can you violate an issur d'rabbanan in order to save yourself from doing an Issur D'oraisa? That's the question. Amar Rav Acha bar Rabbi Abayi, Hei Chidami, what's the case? Ilema b'shogeg, if you'll tell me we're talking about a situation where he was shogeg the entire time. It's talking about a chatas, so it sounds like it's b'shogeg. So ilema b'shogeg, if you tell me that we're talking about a case where he did the whole thing b'shogeg, v'lo idkalei, and he never realized the whole time that it was Shabbos, right? Shogeg means he didn't know it was Shabbos, or he didn't know that Malacha was Usser. Laman Hitiru. So what's this Shaila? The Shaila makes no sense. The whole Shaila makes no sense. Maybe we need a couple more chairs. I'm sorry. More chairs upstairs. I apologize. Maybe just bring some folding chairs from upstairs. Laman Hitiru. Maybe bring like a few. Laman Hitiru. So if the guy was Shogeg the whole time, the whole Shaila doesn't come up. Because he's never going to ask the question. He doesn't know it's Shabbos. So he's never going to be asked about whether or not he could remove it in the middle of the night. He's not going to ask the question. He doesn't know it's Shabbos. Let's say he remembered in the middle. After he put the bread on, before it baked, he remembered that it's Shabbos. He's asking a Shaila. Says the Gemara, but it wouldn't be Chayev Chatos in such a case. Mi Mechayev. But tonight we learned in the Mishnah, Kol chayve chatos ein chayev v'nachshei tchilason v'shkaga v'sofim v'shkaga. It's got to be shogeg the entire time. In the beginning it's shogeg, and the end it's shogeg. So if you remembered in the middle, he wouldn't be considered to be shogeg. Ella, says the Gemara, b'mezid, must be. No, he knew it was Shabbos, and he was violating Shabbos. Kodem sh'yavu day yisr skila mibayalei. If it's bemezid, it's not a chatas, it's skila. So the brisa says chatas. So it can't be bemezid. Can't be bemezid. It should have said skila. Answer the Gemara. I'm Rav Shaila, you're right. Le'olam b'shogeg. Really, the guy who put the bread in the oven was shogeg the entire time. Ulamani tiru. Who is the question? Are you allowed to take off the bread? Before, who is the question to that you're allowed to take off the bread before it bakes? Who's that question to? Le'acherim. The question is, can other people who know it's Shabbos, he doesn't know it's Shabbos, other people who know it's Shabbos, can they remove the bread to save the other guy from violating an Isser Chatos? Asks the Gemara, Maskeflor of Sheshis. Ask Rav Sheshes, is it shayach for one person to do an isser in order that somebody else should be saved from an isser? Can I sin to save you from doing an iser v'chi omul alamni, you say to a person, chate b'shvil sheyizke chavirecha, would we say to a person that you should sin in order that somebody else, that you should sin in order to somebody else? We know that generally speaking, it would be ridiculous for me to do an aver, even an iser d'rabbanan, to save you from doing an iser d'oraisa. That doesn't make any sense. We normally wouldn't say that. Elam Ravashi la'olam b'mezid. Really, the guy did it on purpose. Ve'ema. And you should say that the question really wasn't about a chiyuv chatas. The question was about a chiyuv skila. Kodem shelo de yisur skila. Ravach b'ri d'rava masla b'hedja. He learns it explicitly that way. That the question was that way. Amar Rabbi Hidrik pas b'taner. He tilo l'radosa kodem shelo de yisur skila. That was the question. Do they permit you to take it off before it's a skila? Tosas here, famous Tosas. V'chiyom lo ladam chate b'shul sheyizke chavirecha. So Tosas asks, there are other places in Shas where it looks like one person can do an Avera to save a different person from doing a worse Avera. Tosas gives a number of answers. One of them is, if you yourself are causing the person to do the other Avera, then you are allowed to sin to save that person from doing the other Avera, because you're the guy causing him to do the other Avera. So in that case, you can do a small sin to save him from doing a big sin. Or maybe, if it's a mitzvah rabba or a mitzvah shel rabbim, so it could be that if it like the Gemara says, you could be mechal Shabbos to save another person from doing very, very much more serious yisurim. Ari, there's chairs upstairs. Run upstairs and get yourself a chair. And Tosafos also says that in our case, since there's a pshia, since you put it on the oven. So therefore, in this case, since you're poshea, so somebody else can't save you from doing that very. You got to see the Tosas. If we had more time to go into it, unfortunately, I'm on a pretty tight schedule today. Let's continue. Pashat ha'ani es yado. So the Mishnah had said, if the ani reaches his hand inside, takes something out of the hand of the Baal Bayis and brings it out, then the ani's chayav. Or if the ani would put something down onto the Baal Bayis' hand, the ani is chayav. The question is, the akira and the hanacha is not from a makum dalad al dalad. You didn't lift the hand in the air, the Baal Bais's hand in the air is not four tefachim by four tefachim. And we learned that in order for an akira to be a legit akira, or for a hanacha to be a legit hanacha, it's got to be an akira from a place that dalad al dalad, or an akira from a place, or and a hanacha that's to a place that's dalad al dalad. Four tefachim. So the guy's hand in midair, that's not four tefachim by four tefachim. So how is that a legit akira or a legit hanacha? That's the Gemara's kash. Pasha ani es yado, says the Gemara, amai chayav. Why is the ani chayav for placing it down in the Baal Bais's hand or for lifting it up from the Baal Bais's hand? V'habi'inan akira v'hanacha. Me'al gabi makam arba al arba. Don't we need an akira v'hanacha from arba'a? Four tefachim by four tefachim, vileka, and the guy's hand elevated in midair is not four tefachim by four tefachim. Amar Rabba, Hamani, who is the author of this opinion, Rabbi Akiva. This must be Rabbi Akiva. The Amar, lo be'inan makam arba al arba. Rabbi Akiva's shita is, you do not need a place of four tefachim by four tefachim. This now we learned in the Mishnah, hazorik merushus hayochad, lerushus hayochad, lerushus harabim be'emtza. If you throw an object from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, with a Rishus HaRabim in the middle of it, and it just flies through the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim, Rabbi Akiva Mechayev, V'chacham and Pochim. Rabbi Akiva says, you're Chayev for throwing from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, even though it never rested in the Rishus HaRabim at all. You're still Chayev, V'chacham and Pochim. What's the logic? Rabbi Akiva Savar, Amrin and Kuta Kamisha Hun Chadamir. Rabbi Akiva says, anything that flies through something's airspace, when it changes airspace from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, we view it as if it stopped in the middle and then continues going. If it simply flies through the airspace of Rishus HaRabim without an actual hanacha in Rishus HaRabim, we view it as if it has had a hanacha in the Rishus HaRabim. Kluta kemisha hun chadamya. That if it just goes into the airspace, it's as if it's resting on the ground. For Rabbanan Savre, lo amrinan kluta kemishon chadamya. So sot over here, if the ani put the object down in the hand of the Baal Bayis, even though it's not a makom dal adal, doesn't matter. If it's in the airspace of the Rishus HaYochid, that's good enough. Asks the Gemara, Lememra de Pshita Le Larabba de Bekuta Kamishon Chadamya, Pligi. Do you mean to tell, Uvesoch HaSara, Pligi? Do you mean to tell me that it's obvious? That it's obvious? Do you mean to tell me that it's obvious that to Rabba is the one who gave this answer. You mean to tell me that it's obvious to Rabba that they're arguing about the din of Kluta Kamisha Huncha and it's below 10 Tvachim off the ground? Because the whole Svar of Kluta, we're going to see in a moment, only applies if it travels through the airspace of the other Rishos under 10 Tvachim. It's got to be under 10 Tvachim. Why is Rabbi assuming it's a Dover Pashat? That's what they're arguing about. But in a different place, you saw Rabbi asked this as a question. Rabbi asked the question, Lamata me'asara pligi is the machlokes below 10 tefachim, uvaha pligi, this is what they're arguing about. Rabbi Akiva Savar, Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya, Rabbi Kiva holds that if it goes through the airspace, it's like it's resting on the ground. For Rabbanan Savar, Lar meaning Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamya, the Rabbanan say we don't say such a svara, it's got to actually have an actual hanacha. But if it travels through the airspace above 10 tefachim, Divrei Akol Pater, everybody agrees that the airspace above 10 tefachim, you would not say that that's considered as if it's resting on the ground. Because airspace above 10 tefachim, that's a makom patur. That's airspace above 10 tefachim, that's not considered as if it's on the ground. That's a whole separate reshus. It's considered to be a makom patur. You can place something down in there, it's a complete, it's not called a reshus at all. Udekule Alma, and everyone agrees we do not learn the laws of throwing through a rishus from Moshit. What's Moshit? Moshit is in the Mishkan they used to pass the beams from wagon to wagon. So the wagons were above 10. They were passing them in the airspace above 10. So that's the way they did Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaYachad with Rishus HaRabim in the middle, in the Mishkan. They did it that way. But that's Moshit. It literally, I gave it to you, I handed it to you over a Rishus HaRabim. It's Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaYachad, but it was over the airspace Rishus HaRabim. So the question the Gemara is now addressing is Zorik, do we learn out Zorik from Moshit? So if you assume Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaYachad, with Rishus HaRabim in the middle, above 10 Tfachim, everyone agrees is okay, that means we do not learn out Zorik from Moshit. Because Moshit in the Mishkan, they used to do that. And we know all Malachas learned that from the Mishkan, so if they did it in the Mishkan, it should be Asar and Shabbos. So everyone agrees we don't learn out Zorik from Moshit, Odilma, or maybe no. Lama Lame Asara Pligi, maybe. The whole machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim, and that price is dafka above 10. Uvahapligin, they're actually arguing about this very point. Rabbi Akiva Savar, Yalfin and Zorik Mimoshit. Rabbanan Savar, Lo Yalfin and Zorik Mimoshit. So the whole machlokas is whether we compare handing to throwing. Aval, Lamata Measara, but if it's below 10, Divrei Akol, Chayav. Everybody would agree, Chayav, because everyone holds Klut to Kamishon, Chamai Tamidam Rida. Everyone agrees. So Rabbi wasn't sure. Were Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim arguing about Kluta Kamishon below 10? But above 10, everyone agrees we don't learn Zorik from Moshit. Or were they arguing above 10 and below 10, everyone agrees Kluta? So how can you establish our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva about Kluta? Rabbi himself wasn't sure what we hold. Says Gemara, holo Kasha. Don't ask me that, Kasha. Basa de Ibaya. After Rabbi asked the question, Rabbi was poshit to Suffolk and said that Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim disagreed about Kluta. That's what they're arguing about. But the Gemara rejects this premise for a different reason. Says the Gemara, Nihid Suffolk Rabbi Akiva Kluta Kamisha Huncha Damya. Granted, Rabbi Yehuda holds Kluta Kamisha Huncha as far as Hanacha. V'dilma hanacha hu de lo bai, ha'akira baya. Maybe if Rabbi Akiva holds klut k'misha huncha, he holds klut k'misha huncha, that works, that a hanacha should be a hanacha, not on dalad al dalad. But maybe, that's only a din by hanacha, but maybe even Rabbi Akiva who agrees klut kamisha huncha, he still requires that an akira happen from a makom dalad al dalad, and therefore we still can't say the author of our mission is Rabbi Akiva, because our mission said not only would a hanacha work on top of somebody's hand, but even an akira from somebody's hand would work. So therefore, you can't say the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva of klut kamisha huncha. Answers the Gemara, El Amar Rav Yosef, you're right. So it can't be, you can't say the author of the Mishnah is klut kamisha huncha. El Amar Rav Yosef, and again, I apologize, I'm going a little quicker today, but it's because I have to run a minyan yeshiva at 8:45, I apologize. El Amar Rav Yosef, Hamani Rebbe Hi. Who's the author of our Mishnah? It's a different shita. It's Rebbe. Says Gemara, hey Rebbe, which Rebbe are you talking about? Which opinion of Rebbe? Ilema, again, the Gemara is looking for a source of where you could say that an Akira from a place that's not for Tvachim on for Tvachim works, and a Hanacha to a place that's not for Tvachim. Because the Mishnah had two cases of where the Aniz Chayev Midoraisa, where he placed it on somebody's hand and where he lifted it from the Baal Bais's hand. So you see from there that both Akira and Hanacha don't need a Mokum Dalad al Dalad. Says the Gemara, so which Rebbe? Ilema ha Rebbe, if you're going to tell me it's this opinion of Rebbe, the following Rebbe, Desanya. We learned to the Braisa. Zorak v'noch al gabi ziz kol shehu. If you throw something from Rishus HaYachid into Rishus HaRabim, I'm sorry, this is actually throwing within a Rishus HaRabim. We know that in addition to the issue of motzi mirishus to Rishus, if you carry something four amos in a Rishus HaRabim, you're also chayv midaraisa on Shabbos. It's called mavir dalad amos Rishus HaRabim. It's a tolda of Hotzah. It's the same Isser as Hotzah. It's a tolda of Hotzah. Hotzah is from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid, or Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid. But Mavr Dalad Amos Rosh Hashayachid is also an Isser Dorais on Shabbos. It's a tolda. Right. So let's say you threw in a Rosh Hashayachid more than four amos, but then the thing rests on a protrusion, on a small little tree that's sticking out of a wall, or like a shelf that's sticking out of a wall. Kol shehu, even if it's less than 4x4, just a tiny little thing, less than 4x4. Rebbe Mechayim. Oh, so you see Rebbe Mechachamim Potrim. Says the Gemara. So you see from there that Rebbe holds you don't need a Hanacha on a place of 4x4. Says Gemara, Hasam, Kedibin Lakamah. No, we're going to say that's not a good proof. Kedabai. Dabar Abai. No, that's talking about a whole different story. Hacha Be'ilan Ha'omid Bershus Hayachim. There we're talking about a tree that's in a Rishus HaYachid, v'nofo notel Rishus HaRabim, but all the branches of the tree are in the Rishus HaRabim, v'zarak v'noch anofo, and it landed on an individual branch. The Rebbe Savar Minan Shadi Nofo Basari Karo. Rebbe holds that we consider that branch, we throw the branches after the base, and the base is 4x4. So yeah, It's resting on a branch, but Rebbe holds, even though it's only resting on a branch, that the branch itself is not 4x4, since it is attached to the tree, and the tree is 4x4, so it's considered to be Shadar Nova Basri Karo, it's considered to be on the trunk. It's considered to be on the trunk of the tree. And actually, it's considered to be, the Gemara is going to say, in a Rishus HaRabim, even though, but, as far as, is it in Rosh Hashanah? So how can we say it, the branch doesn't follow the trunk? But as far as is it on a makam dalad al dalad, it is considered to be on the trunk. We're going to learn that later on. We're going to learn that later on Daf Ches. Rabbanan savrei lo amrin and shali nofer basar yikaro. And the Rabbanan say it's not considered to be a makam dalad al dalad. So that's a different issue. So you see there, they both really do require dalad al dalad. But over there, the shaila is, do you have dalad al dalad because the branches are considered to be on the base? Ella, the Gemara says, it's not that Rebbe. So which Rebbe is it? Ella, ha Rebbe. No, it's this shita of Rebbe. The sign we learned in the Braisa, Zarak mirshus harabim, lirshus harabim. Urshus hayachid be'emtza. If a person throws an object from one rishus harabim to another rishus harabim, and there's a rishus hayachid in the middle, Rebbe mechayev. Bechachamim potrin. Rebbe says you're chayev. I'm Rebbe Yehuda Mashmuel. Mechayev ha'ya Rebbe shtayim. Rebbe holds in this case you're chayev two chatos. Why? Because it went from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, and then it went from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. So you're chayev two chatos. Achas misham hotza. V'achas mishum hachnosa. One from Mishus HaYochid, Mishus HaRabim, and one from Mishus HaRabim, Mishus HaYochid. Alma lo boy akira v'lo hanacha. Agami makam arbar al arba. So we see that Rebbe requires neither an akira from makam dalad al dalad, nor a hanacha to a makam dalad al dalad. So here you see explicitly that Rebbe holds that, first of all, you see that he holds kluta kamisha huncha. But you see, like Rabbi Kiva, but you see he also holds that you don't need a makam dalad al dalad. Answers the Gemara, no. Ha'itmar Allah, it was stated on this, Rav u'Shmuel d'amri tarvayu, that Rav and Shmuel both say, lo mechayev Rebbe, ela b'rishus hayochid mikora. Rebbe only held your chayev if the rishus hayochid had a ceiling on it. It had a ceiling. So here's the case. Let's say there's a house, and you're standing on one side of the house, which is around, and there's another, which is around the other side of the house. And the windows are open on both sides of the house. So you take an object, you throw it from the Rishus HaRabim, traveling through the roofed house. It goes in the house with a roof on it, and then it goes out the other side. Oh! So Rebbe holds, if it has a roof on it, then we consider it as if it had a hanacha. Damrinon Besa Keman Demalya Dama. We say a house that has a roof on it, so it's as if the whole thing is filled up with matter. It's like filled up with dirt. If it has a roof, it's considered all full. It's all full. So that's why it's considered a hanacha, because it's like when it traveled through, it's like it rolled on the dirt, because once it has a roof on it, we view it halachically as like an enclosed area. If it's an enclosed space, we view the whole thing as filled up. It's like all filled, even though it's airspace inside, but it's like it's filled up with dirt, floor to ceiling. And therefore, when it traveled through the airspace, it's like it had a hanacha, because it's like it was on something. In the middle, Besa Keman Demalya Dama. It's considered halachically as if it's piled up with stuff from floor to ceiling. It's not considered airspace when it has a roof. Aval She'eino Makora Lo. But in our case, with the onion and the Baal HaBayis, there wasn't a roof, so it's not a problem. Says, well, who says? Who says our case in the Mishnah didn't have a roof? And if you'll say to me, maybe our case also is a case where it had a roof, says the Gemara, Hatenach Rishus HaYachid. That makes sense when the Ani placed something down in the Baal HaBayis in Rishus HaYachid. So you could say that it makes sense. Rishus HaYachid had a roof on it. Most houses in the Baal HaBayis, they do have roofs. Mekora, Rishus HaYachid Mekora, makes sense. But Rishus HaRabim Mekora, our case was also a case of where the Baal HaBayis placed it down into the Ani. The Ani was in Rishus HaRabim. What are you going to tell me? It's just a Rishus HaRabim with a roof on it. A Rishus HaRabim with a roof on it ain't a Rishus HaRabim. It's not called a Rishus HaRabim, halachically. Rishus HaRabim Makor, Michayev. Would the Baal HaBayis really be Chayev for placing it down in the Ani's hand in Rishus HaRabim? V'ham Rav Shom Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Hamavre Chefetz, Arba Amas, Rishus HaRabim Makora. If a person carries something for Amos in a Rishus HaRabim with a roof on it, let's say you could find a place, I don't know, a stadium or something, an indoor stadium. I don't even know. You don't have 600,000 people. There's no stadium with 600,000 people. Maybe there is. I don't know. But I don't know, you could find a case. But if a person would carry four amos in a Rishus HaRabim with a roof on it, he's putter. He would not be chayav on Shabbos. L'fisha eino doma l'digle midbar. Because Rishus HaRabim has to be doma to the Rishus HaRabim in the midbar with the Mishkan. In the midbar, there wasn't no roof over there. There wasn't a roof over there. And therefore, not chayiv. And therefore, you wouldn't be chayiv. So we're sort of in the middle here. We're going to pick this up tomorrow. But just one other ha'ara before we go. One other ha'ara. So it's an interesting shita of the Rishash over here. We learned before that if you put something in the oven, if you put something in the oven to bake it, and it's not finished baking, here you take the pita dough, you throw it on the oven, it's just starting to bake. So the Gemara cleared the shadow before. Can you violate the Issur d'Rabbanan of Rudias HaPas? Can I take it off before it bakes? Now that implies that the second you throw it onto the oven, you don't already violate Bishul if it hasn't baked yet. It just started baking. That the even though you know it's going to happen if you leave it there, I understand. Let's say you take a seed and you drop it into the ground. It's not going to take root for another month. So what? But you put it in the ground, shouldn't you violate Shabbos right away? So by Zuriya, by planting, that's taka the halacha. But by baking, so the Rashash says, you see from this Gemara, the Rashash holds by baking. Well, let's say, I'll give you a final question. Let's say you throw something in the oven 2 minutes before Shabbos is over. It's going to take 10 minutes to bake. So you're not going to have baked it long enough. So do you violate Shabbos because you put it in the oven on Shabbos 2 minutes before? So the Rashash says that you, it's a machlok is the Rashash and the Minchas Chinuch. That's a machlok is the Rashash and the Minchas Chinuch. Let me say it to you. Oh, right. So that's a Rashash, later on Ayin Gimel, that you do violate. That baking is the same as planting. Just like planting on Shabbos, it's not going to grow for another month, but you drop the seed in the land, in the ground, you seeded it. That by itself is the definition of lacha. Whenever it grows, it grows. He says baking is the same thing. The definition of baking is taking dough and putting it in an oven. You're ready, chayim. So that's a question. So how does the Gemara, the das minchas chinuch, the minchas says no, you would not violate. On, you see over here, you see from our Gemara that just putting something in the oven, you could take it off the oven before you'd violate the issa daraisa. So how does the Rashash read our Gemara? How does he read our Gemara? I don't know. This Gemara seems to be against the Rashash. That just placing it. I don't know. I have to figure out how to answer. Okay. I apologize. I got to stop a little early. We're going to stop here. Everybody have a Freilich and Purim. Tomorrow morning, we're back to regular time, right? Regular davening in the shul. Tomorrow morning is regular time. Regular work day.